Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Life Enthusiast Co-op Online Radio Network, restoring vitality to you and the planet, and in particular, this week, the planet. I'm your co-host, Scott Patton, and joining us, as usual, is the founder and president of the Life Enthusiast Co-op, Martin Patella. Hey, Martin, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you. You say it so well. It's been only about 300 times you have, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. This is our 220th episode.
So this is good.
Very good.
I would say we're mature. We have something to say. You know what's interesting is I'm actually late calling you back, or I'm late for our appointment. And the one of the reasons I'm late is this call I took. I see this exotic phone number on the display, so I picked it up. And it's this lady calling from Japan. I'm thinking,
wow.
What? Right?
Yeah.
And anyway, she speaks quite good English. And she says, yeah, I've been listening to your podcasts for a long time. And your last podcast is about iodine. And I think you could possibly help me.
Wow.
Okay, yes. And I said, well, how's the situation? And she says, you know, I do not trust the information that I'm receiving through the official channel. And I'm thinking, wow, well, that's fairly common. Like people are, in general, they seem to be sort of growing mistrustful of governments, of institutions.
Well, everybody seems to say it's okay, yet they look around and they see it's not.
Yes. Yeah, it's sort of like that, trust me, everything's okay, or trust me, I have it under control. And then, of course, you see how they don't have it under control, and therefore the other side of the equation, which was trust me, doesn't work. I can just see how that happens. Well, anyway, so, this lady is on the western coast of Japan, so I'm saying, well, are you downwind from anything? And she says, no, I don't think so. But I'm concerned about the food supply, and I'm concerned about the water. So
yes.
So I want to go back again over the information that we saw in the first week, where I was getting quite perturbed with a lot of the, especially internet online stuff, information coming across. That's just so alarmist. That just is painting the picture like it's assured death all across the western shore of North America. And I would ask every caller that came in, I would ask, well, when the nuclear weapons were detonated over Japan back in 1945, how many people died in Los Angeles?
Point.
Right. I mean, yes, there probably was some fallout. Yes, there probably was some radioactive iodine and who knows what else. But I don't think it was an imminent threat as it was being portrayed.
Oh, so, right. I think it's a far more more of a threat in Japan than it is here.
Oh, logically, yes.
They actually, Martin, the other day, they had yellow rain in Tokyo and the surrounding areas. And
okay.
As you can imagine, it wasn't something normal, and they were concerned that, the average citizen was just concerned that this was, some sort of radioactive dust that was caught in the rain and everything else.
Could have been.
And there was a quote from one person in Tokyo said, after 2 days of rain in Tokyo, I woke up to a thick coating of this yellow stuff all over my car. What looked like a glare between the glass and the body of the car is actually pollen. My first thought was, ew, radioactive sludge from Fukushima. But no, it was there saying that it was pollen. That's what the meteorological agencies in Japan are calling it as well.
And so perhaps some pine forests are pollinating, and it's just flying on the wind, yeah?
Yeah. And it's just amazing, though, like, you would think that, like, we have, where I am, cottonwood trees, so at certain yes. times of the spring, it actually looks like winter because you've got all this white stuff floating around, right?
Yes.
And so, you know, when we see it, we're not, it's like normal, we're not surprised, right? Mm-hmm. But it seems to me that waking up after a couple of days of rain and seeing a thick coating of yellow stuff on your car is not normal in Tokyo, so it's kind of curious, right, that they
right.
would, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the conversation with this Japanese lady went something like, okay, if you do not have an immediate problem, then you only have a long-term problem. And so, you know, the immediate problem we solve with iodine supplementation, because the only immediate issue is that your thyroid is a gland that will soak up any iodine that comes its way, actually any halite that comes its way. So that means chlorine, fluoride, iodine, bromine. These things are actually quite, how should I say, cause a lot of problems, because if indeed you have bromine coming downstream, the thyroid will get bromine in these receptor sites, mm-hmm. which causes a good number of problems as well. So one opinion I read was, come on, folks, don't you worry about the iodine. Your thyroids are so filled with fluoride and chlorine and all of the other garbage that you have in your body that the radioactive iodine doesn't have a chance. But anyway, if it did, I would say we should be telling people about just the potassium iodide, you know, the famous KI. K for potassium, I for iodine. You know, I went looking online and I did a search on eBay and I saw somebody selling 200 tablets of potassium iodide for $225.
Wow.
Indeed, we sell 200 doses of potassium iodide for $18. And I thought, oh my God, you know. That's a nasty markup.
Yeah, so someone's just taking advantage of the situation.
Indeed, yeah.
It reminds me of many years ago, there was this little study came out that said if you eat so much oat bran, it will be like a Roto-Rooter and clean out all the cholesterol in your arteries.
That's right.
And mm-hmm. that little oat bran company went from selling, you know, one package a week to like millions of, you know, it was just like
yes.
massive displays went up in the grocery store that I was in right away, you know.
Yes.
Get your oat bran here. I don't know that it really had that much impact on anybody's health.
Well, I remember the statistics, and the difference was something like 20% decrease in cholesterol levels if you double or triple your intake of oat bran or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, there is a difference, statistically significant difference as far as, yes, you will notice it, but does it really deal with the problem? And the answer to that is no. Because it doesn't deal with the reason why your body is raising cholesterol in the bloodstream. That's a reaction to an irritation or to an inflammation that's 9 times out of 10 comes from too many calories coming in. But anyway, I'm getting sidetracked. So the potassium iodide is a good thing to have. In fact, you know, the potassium iodide crystals that we now have available, the shelf life on that is 7 years. So it probably is a good idea to have some of that on hand, just in case.
Well, you can't go wrong having some iodine, right, in your diet.
Right. Well, you know, you should be, I mean, according to the FDA, you should be taking about 13 milligrams a day ongoing, and 130 milligrams in an emergency situation such as the radioactive cloud coming your way.
Right.
So, yeah, the 200 doses that we sell for $18 will last you either 200 days in an emergency, so I guess that would be a family of 50 for 4 days. Who has a family of 50?
a family of four for 50 days.
Okay, if you like that, yeah.
What's the name of the product again?
It's called potassium iodide. We have it listed under the brand Transderma Minerals, or in the category of iodine supplements. So it's in the program products under iodine. Anyway, so we have that, and I think it's a wonderful thing for anyone who needs it to have something. But more importantly, now the long-term problem. You know, the long-term problem comes with heavy elements getting into the food chain, where you have cesium or uranium or, God bless us all, plutonium. Because they actually managed in one of those reactors, they actually had this mixed fuel that has both enriched uranium and plutonium. And plutonium is so insanely toxic that quarter micron is enough to guarantee a cancer in a human being.
Wow, that's so, very, very little.
Yeah, teeniest amount. So they had enough in that one reactor to poison every person on the planet, kind of quantity. Anyway, so the good tool for removing heavy metals has been zeolite. We have had a great deal of success with removing lead and mercury and other heavy metals. As soon as I mention heavy metals, I'm reminded of depleted uranium. Have you heard of that, Scott?
Is that what they use for bullets and bomb shells in Iraq?
Yes, that's it. That's the tool. Unfortunately,
it's so thick and heavy, it just nothing dents it, and it goes through everything.
Right. Yeah, uranium is heavier than lead. So because you have the ability to shoot something with a metal that's, I don't know, five times as heavy as iron or steel, it just blasts through armor, right? So this is the armor-piercing munition. And here's how it works. Naturally, there's about 0.7% of the correct isotope, you know, the isotope that's used in the nuclear plant fuel in a in naturally occurring uranium oxide. So they concentrate that. So they concentrate it to about 3% before they use it as the fuel in the nuclear power plants. So the depleted uranium is essentially all the leftover uranium that doesn't have the active, the ionizing radioactive uranium in it. And there's plenty of that, and they were looking for some smart use of it and thought that this would be a really good move.
Yeah, absolutely. We can just do this, and then this is how we get rid of this stuff that we don't know what to do with.
Right, and we shoot it in the enemy territory.
So it's far away from us.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliant.
So, of course, we have had this in Serbia and in Iraq, and the soldiers that are coming back from there are quite toxic with heavy metals. Depleted uranium is, it's not mentioned in the mainstream news. It's not mentioned on television, but if you search it on the internet, there are some really well-documented articles that show just what a horrendous invention this has been.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that's one of the things that we have found that the zeolite has been effective for, because we have tested it with a good number of soldiers returning from the action that they saw back in 91 and 93. So we know that this will work on the new pollution that is possibly coming out from the nuclear power plant. So I'm very confident in saying that zeolite is the way to go.
So make sure you've got enough iodine in your system.
Yeah, for the short term.
And that you've got zeolite. So would you, there's a number of different ways you can take it, right? There's a capsule or pill form,
right.
And there's also a powder.
Yes.
That I'm actually using right now. So would you take like...
Well, how does the powder work for you? Do you have any difficulty using it?
I actually put it in my cereal in the morning or, usually in the morning or I will have a bowl of cereal after I do hot yoga because I know I've really, moved a lot of stuff and am detoxing. So what I found was that I'll pour the dry cereal in and then I'll put one scoop, there's a little scooper that comes in the package of the powder on top, and then I was pouring milk a long time ago, and then I got out of that, and then I poured almond milk, and then you sort of told me that that's how you go from being a guy to a gal, so I got rid of that. And then what I've been doing is getting cans of coconut milk and just putting that into a glass jar.
Mm-hmm.
And putting a little water in it so that it's not quite so thick, and using that in place of milk. And I just put enough of it to kind of wet the... you have to kind of mix it around a bit because the powder doesn't really... It doesn't...
Blend
that, at all, which is why water just didn't seem to be a good idea.
No.
And then I just sort of mix it into that whole thing, and then down she goes, and we're good.
Yes. So there goes... The liquid form has one advantage, which is it's mixed with humic acid. Humic acid is the is really good at connecting or delivering minerals or extracting minerals from wherever they are parked.
Yeah, I like the water. I had that before, and it was just into a little glass of water, the liquid. Into a little glass of water. Had no taste or anything. It was good.
No. Right, so for somebody who's got a serious problem and needs some significant action, the liquid is more convenient, but it's much more expensive. And, the powder is an excellent value. A pound of it is like $60 in our cart, which it's a very large amount.
Now, that would last 6 months?
Probably, yeah, on maintenance.
So let's talk about that. So here we have, let's just pretend there's a radioactive cloud that has come from Japan over North America. It has settled down. We've got a little bit more radiation than we're used to because of it.
It's gone into the water table and it's gone into the fields, yeah?
Yeah, and so we're at a higher level of radiation, because there's radiation all the time, right? There's background radiation and everything else. Sunstorms send a flare out, we get more radiation. But we're at a little bit higher, and it's also brought these heavy metals that we've talked about. So I'm thinking, I need to do a little bit more than just maintenance to look after this increase in toxicity in my environment for the next little while.
Exactly.
That would be. So normally, I'm assuming a maintenance is one little scoop out of my zeolite powder container.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm assuming that's right. So should I do two a day now for the next few months, or?
Well, I would suspect that the one a day is actually going to be enough for maintenance. So if you don't have any particular specific problem that you need to already eliminate metals that you already have in your body, I think one is enough as a preventive.
Okay.
I would say, if you have a chronic disease that's probably caused by heavy metals, and we've talked about these, the fibromyalgia or lupus or multiple sclerosis or any one of those inflammatory problems, then you probably have a high toxicity level, and then you should be doing three or four scoops for at least 3 months to
clean out everything.
To clean it all out, yes.
Okay.
And similarly with the liquid, one bottle a month is plenty on maintenance. I've had some people who took 12 bottles a month for a short while because they have been diagnosed with a terminal illness with a 60 days to go kind of you know, you come back home from your doctor's appointment and you're told that your best before date is 60 days out.
Wow.
And
so, so take a whole bunch of this stuff.
Yes.
Well, and here's the thing, too, is we're looking at, did you say 6 bottles a month?
I said 3.
3 bottles a month. So that's like $22 a bottle for times 3. I mean, so we're not, you know, when you, I'm just thinking of a trip my son to the dentist, and they said, oh, you've got this, recession here on your thing, and when you do this, and it's going to be $2,000.
Yes.
You know, and I'm thinking, and not that it's related at all, but it's just like when we look at the cost of medical care, $66 is kind of
it's
ridiculous.
It's a joke. Yeah, I know. It's so funny how disconnected the medical industry has become thanks to the insurance in between. Mm-hmm. How disconnected they have become from the other relations that we have in the consumer market, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, let me say something like chemotherapy, right?
Yep.
I mean, these things are $10,000 a month, $20,000 a month, right? Or a open heart surgery, $120,000. hip replacement, $45,000. So these things are gigantically expensive, and they don't seem to have any relation to what a normal person would spend.
Right.
And yet, you know, there we are. Oh yeah, sure, life insurance or health insurance or whatever insurance covers it. And so we just sort of say, okay, sure, go ahead, give me the best.
Yeah, and it isn't necessarily even the best. Because you're dealing with the symptom, you're not dealing with the causes.
Right.
And if you've got a lot of autoimmune, I mean, even if it wasn't the right thing to take, and by that, and of course, zeolite, how toxic is it?
Well, it's anti-toxic, right? I mean, there's zero downside to it. This is not like taking a painkiller, you know, where you can actually even expect a side effect or whatever. There's zero possibility of that.
So there's no headaches, there's no nausea, there's no throwing up, there's no losing your balance. There's not this whole long list of things that occur when you ingest this stuff.
Right.
And so you spend $66, 3 months, 3 bottles. You clean out a lot of. But you clean out a significant amount of heavy metals that has accumulated in your body over the last, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years, however old you are.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't the thing your body actually needed to be able to heal for whatever reason, there's no downside. You spent $60. Okay, so that's like you missed a dinner one night at the restaurant.
Well, I want to tell you this. One of our customers he's very studious or inquisitive, so he went ahead and he spent the money. I mean, I usually tell people don't bother spending money on tests because all you're going to do is waste money you could have used on supplements.
Good point.
But anyway, this fellow, he just needed to know. About 60 years old with a known mercury toxicity problem. And there are two ways you can test it. You can test it either with provocation or without. And provocation is this thing called DMPS. They give it to you just before you're going to start collecting your urine. So you take the DMPS and you do a 24-hour urine collection, and then you hand in the bottle of that and they check what's in it. So this fellow, after working with some doctors for a long time, had this test done, and it showed the mercury level at 140, that would be parts per million, with provocation, and 3.0 without provocation. So then he did 3 months of zeolite and went for the test again, and it came back at 40 ppm with provocation and 1.5 without. And the threshold of you're dangerously toxic is 2.0 without provocation. So he went from 3.0 down to 1.5 into sort of the tolerable territory.
So he went from a danger area to a tolerable area.
Right.
And yeah. You'd probably still want to go lower than that.
Oh, yeah, he's still on it. He says that he's going to run on a lower dose of zeolite now for another 6 months and do the test over. But I was really grateful to him to have done it because, it's a sample of one, but it's typical. It shows me exactly how it works and that it works.
Right, right. So if you're concerned about radioactive heavy metals coming across the ocean, and basically I think it's safe to assume that within 6 months this anything that was spewed into the air, and there's a lot of controversy over what
how much and if.
A lot of people are saying the Japanese government's not saying how much has actually been blown up.
Right. The electric company is hiding the facts. The government is covering up and all of that. Maybe.
Maybe. And maybe not. But regardless, there's going to be all this stuff is going to be all over the world because the air currents go all over the place.
Yes.
And if you can, spend $60 and be getting those heavy metals out of our body, because let's just say a heavy metal gets into a field, they grow carrots goes to the grocery store, you get the carrot, you eat the carrot, now your body has that heavy metal in it, and it says, what do I do with it, and usually sticks it in a bunch of fat somewhere, right?
That's right, yeah, the pathway is first into the fat, then into cartilage, then into bone.
It never is into crap end, right?
Well, the problem with that is that the eliminative organs completely panic at seeing it. It's sort of like if somebody handed you a glowing charcoal briquette that's hot.
Right. I'm not holding on to it. I'm like...
No, you're just going to be tossing it and then just getting rid of it as quick as you can into some place where its temperature is not going to be threatening, right? And in a human body, you need to put it into some tissue where there's low circulation. And that's, the highest circulation are your filtration organs, your kidney and your liver. Well, that's definitely not where you want it. So off it goes into some fat.
So these things, the body is so smart, it says...
Dangerous.
This is dangerous, and we're not going to put it through the liver or the kidney or whatever else it is, so pop it back out there.
Yeah.
And then it goes, okay, here's some fat, here's some bone, here's some cartilage, we'll just stick it in there, and at least it's not going to be burning so much as if it was somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that's how it goes, and unfortunately, that means that if you go on a diet and start losing some fat, you will push these things out of its hiding place. Or if you get osteoporosis later in your declining years, a lot of these toxins will get sent out of their parking places back into circulation. And I actually speculate that some of what we see as old age confusion
mm-hmm.
is actually, older people tend to have the osteoporosis more pronounced, which that comes on the heels of the declining pH balance of the acidity arriving. So anyway, when you start dissolving the bones, you're releasing a whole bunch of stuff that was stored in the bone, and if it's indeed toxins and heavy metals, then all of a sudden you're just dealing with these super toxic situations, and the decline accelerates rapidly.
Right. And of course, when you're 70, 80, 90 years old, you've got that extra 10, 20, 30 years of accumulation going on.
Yes.
So things like aluminum, people talk a lot about aluminum in deodorants mm-hmm. and stuff like that, and there's mm-hmm. talk of a connection between that and Alzheimer's and everything else. Is that a heavy metal as well?
I'm really confused about that story. I know that Alzheimer's patients have had a higher level of aluminum in their brains. That much I know. That was found, but I don't know if that really is linked directly or not.
I
don't know.
Is it
aluminum in a metallic state is an unwanted element for sure.
And is that considered? Is that something that zeolite would pull out of your body?
It would, yes.
Okay. So what happens with the heavy metal is it's in your body somewhere. The zeolite comes along because of the charges and the electric stuff that goes on. It pulls it out of wherever it is, wraps it around, and then when it goes to the liver or however we get rid of it, it just says, "Hey, no, it's safe. I've reduced the. It's not hot anymore. It's a cool
yes.
coal," and then it gets eliminated.
Exactly. Well described.
Okay. Good. Well, I just wanted to be kind of clear on that because this is, if someone, it's quite possible that one of the reasons that we have an obesity crisis, one of the factors could be the fact that we live in such a toxic environment. Our body is accumulating the fat to protect us from all these hot coals.
That is true.
And so, you wonder why you don't lose weight and all the rest of it. Well, that could be because you've got all this toxicity in your body, and once you get rid of the toxicity, the body says, "Oh, I don't need all this fat." It kind of lets go of that too.
Right. So it becomes a curious question, the chicken and egg kind of philosophy phenomenon. Is are you fat because you're toxic, or are you toxic because you're fat, or are you acidic first and then fat, or are you fat and acidic later? And I would say that it sort of goes together the same way as the chicken and the egg goes together. Is you can't really separate one from the other. And similarly with, toxicity or the pH balance and the overall health of the organism.
Right. Good point.
So I'm starting to sound like a very broken record. Or a scratched CD. alkalize, detoxify.
That is the key, isn't it?
It totally is.
So if somebody wanted to know more about the potassium iodine, the zeolite, more information on these topics, particularly as they relate to the sad situation that we're experiencing over in Japan with the radioactivity, not even having touched on the other issues from the earthquake and the tidal waves, what should they do?
Yes, life-enthusiast.com. Look under the products categories for iodine and zeolite, or under the health concerns for heavy metal toxicity. And if that's not enough, give us a call. The phone number is 1-866-543-3388. We'll be here, as always, restoring vitality to you and to the planet.